Newspapers that so often tell us what's happening face a question about what will happen to them.
That question took me to New York City, where two of the nation's biggest papers are on sale at any newsstand. Consider this newsstand, which is within sight of New York's Times Square. Amid the magazines and the tabloids for sale, you can see the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. Today and tomorrow, we're going to meet the editors of those influential national papers. They're leaders of an industry that's said to be dying. We went around the corner to the skyscraper that is home of the New York Times, and we found the editor, Bill Keller, in a glass-walled office. I just wonder, if you were going to write the headline for this institution at this moment in time, what would it be?
We will survive.
Bill Keller edits one of the world's most influential newspapers. His reporters' triumphs and their failures shaped what we learned about the Bush administration, from eavesdropping to weapons of mass destruction. Now they prepare to cover a new administration in uncertain times. When we met Bill Keller, the newspaper was about to announce plans to borrow against its own building. The company wants to avoid a cash flow problem.
Yeah, it's this amazing period of ferment, which is sometimes disheartening because, you know, people are nibbling away at our core business. But in fact, our audience is growing, you know, people coming to our website. We had 1 billion page views in October and a printed newspaper that is still profitable all by itself. So I don't think we're losing audience, but we're competing for audience with different people.
When you point out you've still got a print edition that makes money, and you've got millions of new web viewers that you never had before, what would make people be concerned about the future of this institution?
Well, to some extent, we get tarred with the condition of the industry that we're in.
Do you mean your stock has been hammered just because you're a newspaper generically? People aren't actually looking at the real fundamentals of your business?
I think that's a lot of it. But no, I absolutely think they're looking at the fundamentals of the business we're in. I think our fundamentals as a company are stronger than those of most other companies.
Why? Just because of the name? Because you are the New York Times?
Well, it's because the name stands for something. I think the term of art the business people use is brand promise, and I think our brand promise is high and strong. I mean, good journalism does not come cheap, and therefore you're not going to find a lot of blogs or nonprofit websites that are going to build a Baghdad bureau. It's the basic law of supply and demand. There is demonstrably a huge demand for what we do, which is why people keep coming to our website and paying $500 a year for the newspaper. But there's a real shortage of the kind of information that I would call quality journalism.
Really? Are there fewer journalists doing
the work?
There are
fewer employed journalists. which goes back to when I was growing up. An awful lot of cities had two newspapers that battled it out. It's been a long time since that was the case. Now you find newsrooms around the country hollowing themselves out. A fair number of those newspapers are going to die, and they will be supplanted by something, a local website. I mean, I don't think that Americans want to go without news. You know, even, you know, they want somebody to tell them what's happening at the local city council, not just what's happening in the world at large.
Setting aside the business for a moment, I'd like to know if, given the huge number of ways that people communicate, if you feel that this newspaper is as relevant to politicians and to the public as it was.
I do, although I think it's relevant in a different way and on a different cycle. It used to be that a New York Times story out of Washington would set the agenda for the network news for days to come and for the Sunday talk shows and probably for the News Weekly magazine covers the following week. Now the news cycles through in about 36 hours instead of a week. And politicians have a lot more places they can go to communicate with the electorate. And I don't know what the new administration's going to do in that regard.
How would you say that the new administration, judged on how President-elect Obama ran his campaign, dealt with the media or dealt with this paper?
He ran an unbelievably disciplined campaign, and some of that discipline and message control will probably translate into governing. But you can't just govern by communicating with your base, and I think the Bush administration has demonstrated that that's true. And I think the Obama people are smart enough to know that.
Have you found them particularly open or cooperative?
I think the reporters who covered the campaign would say that it was quite buttoned down. You know, one of the things that seems to have worked extremely well for the Obama campaign was the whole social networking phenomenon, which was great for raising money, which was great for mobilizing their people. But again, that's something that works to mobilize your base. You need more than your base to govern. And even your most devoted admirers don't want to rely just on you for word of what the government's up to and what it means.
Bill Keller is executive editor of the New York Times. On top of websites and TV channels, the newspaper now faces a new challenge from another newspaper. And tomorrow we'll meet Robert Thompson, the editor of that paper, The Wall Street Journal.
If you look at other newspapers in New York that aspire to cover international affairs, it's sort of a roving searchlight. When they focus it on a country, that country's important, but that's not really how the world works.
Would you say with a wry smile, other papers in New York that aspire to cover news, the New York Times would be one of those newspapers, wouldn't it?
Well, that is one that comes to mind, yes.